back into session. Scott, would now be a good time?
At your pleasure.
Okay.
Scott Fletcher, Lewis and Clark College. I just wanted to make a quick comment that may in some respects be obvious, but I think might be an important element in this discussion, and that is the importance of professional development as a foundation for quality teaching across the board. So you, as well as I, have probably read and heard a lot of international comparisons that suggest the degree to which our education system supports quality instruction and its development over the lifespan of a teacher. And I understand the Commission's need to focus on policy and procedural issues related to the regulation of professional development. I would also encourage you to have a fundamental discussion around what the expectations for the role of professional development in teachers and counselors and school psychs, et cetera, what you expect it to be, because it is, excuse me, an essential component to a system that prepares high-quality teachers, has policies around induction, and then, in this case, professional development. So I'd encourage you to take a systematic look and to really, whatever the procedural and policy roadblocks, to actually making things happen through regulation or through the use of resources that you have available, that it would be helpful for all of us, for the Commission to have a clear and perhaps well-articulated vision of the role that professional development plays as a system in our process of preparing, inducting, and continuing to produce teacher leaders. So my encouragement, just to have that broad picture, and there's plenty of good research on professional development. There's plenty of good international comparisons about how complicated nationwide systems of professional development can be implemented. Almost all of them require vastly more resources than we put into professional development now. And despite that, element of the comparison, I think it would be terrific for the Commission to lead a discussion about systematic approaches to professional development as a pillar of the respect and the professionalism that our teachers deserve. So thanks for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you for, thank you for hearing us. Our concerns were for the substitutes and how we're going to address the issues of filling out educational responsibilities with our limited resources that we have, because we are just not employed that much. This year, since the beginning of the year, especially with the downturn in the economy, I've had 4 days of employment, and I'm thinking, how does that fit with the requirements that you're going to want for us? And in years past, I've had more, but that's different. Our membership was very concerned with this. They were wanting to retain recency as a requirement, as that was what their recommendation was to the Oregon Substitute Teachers Association. And we can see that that is not a popular item with the board now, so we were trying to come up with some way that we could help fill the units required with our conferences and so on. And so we were thinking, well, recommending 5 to 10 units might be a possible thing that we could supply during a year. But we weren't sure about how that would be done and how that would fit the domains and what the domains are, because you haven't decided that yet. And so we're very confused about that one. And so we're worried about how you're going to make this happen. Another concern is that since we are not tied to a particular district, how do we fit the domains of what a district requires? Is the state going to come out with what they want us to do? And how are we going to report that back to you, since we're not reporting to a particular district? And the district, I get from our meetings past, I noticed the districts don't really want anything to do with more paperwork with reporting, especially for substitutes. So I don't know how you're going to deal with those issues. and how they will fit. Anyway, I don't envy your task, trying to make the changes. Help us out if you can, especially for those unemployed or low-employed teachers. It's going to be very difficult. I did hear from my Phyllis told me about some notes. She said that someone had mentioned it would be a good thing for the days where teachers are required to be there during the off days for the year, that and that would be a good time for subs, because then we wouldn't be required to be taking the place of teachers if the district would make that education available to us. In the district I mostly work in, they adopted a new math program, and I'd love to have taken some in-service on that, but that's never been offered to us as subs, and so I sort of flounder my way through this new system, and I would love to have taken that, but that wasn't offered to us, and so I don't know how that will be done. Thank you for hearing us. That's about all I have to say.
Thank you very much for sharing your concerns. We do appreciate them. Thank you. Anyone else on the list? No one else on the list? Okay. I think it's clear that there's a huge, huge task in front of us that we're not going to solve all of today or accomplish everything, but it'd be great if we could step away from today with something slightly tangible. I know we've started our conversation before lunch on who is required to do CPD and how much CPD is required. Not to at all ignore what you talked about, Scott, in regards to the importance of professional development, why we are even doing this in the first place, and then the conversation around domain still has to come too. And perhaps we're doing it backwards. But I don't know if that full conversation about the importance of the professional development and its purpose and what our vision is in regards to that is what is supposed to take place today, Vicki, or really because of some issues related to current processing that we do need to address this employment issue and CPD issue and move on from there.
Things that I've seen in statute is that it says all basic and standard licenses will have continuing professional development for renewal, which is something we probably should not have been ignoring. And it's a shall, it's not a maybe. So it doesn't say it will all be equal. I think in that regard, that and the continuing teaching license and your initial two, you need to make some decisions about that, but again, you don't have anything in front of you. You're just discussing ideas, and we can start solidifying some of this and bring some proposals to you. So is that what you're kind of headed towards in that direction? Go ahead. Ask it again.
Do you want our conversation today to be focused on, it sounds a little bit logistical, but related to this renewal, the CPD requirement, who's required, how much is required, as opposed to some of the other conversations that possibly could be had in terms of the vision of our professional development, our domains? What's the first priority?
I would recommend that kind of remains an under construction area while we're finishing up the NTAP standards, looking at what might be reasonable in administrative and the other licensure areas. But the things you can clean up are some of the amendments that are on the table. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, I think we have some guidance about not moving too much at one time. And let us tackle this issue of how do you report it? Well, you turn it into us, and we do that on occasion when people don't have districts and they need to do, they get stuck, or occasionally districts don't vouch, and we look at it. It's not that big a population, and it doesn't all come in on one day throughout the year. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. I'd be focused on kind of where you were headed before lunch, mm-hmm. which it sounds like there was a general consensus around everyone who keeps an active license, a regular license, needs to do something. And the issue that you left out there was substitute teaching licenses, which in my opinion also includes all your others that are renewable, your limiteds and things like that. And kind of give us some idea about that. And let us bring back to you in May a cleaned up set of rules, recognizing that the domain will have to continue to be developed. But I bet you we could get two-thirds of the way based on sort of knowing where you are today in terms of at least readdressing some of these issues in the rules. Does that help a little more?
Mm-hmm. I do want to go back then to the conversation we were having just before lunch and related to who needs CPD and the possible set of different requirements for those who are fully regularly employed versus those who are unemployed and or substituting. And Nancy put something out there, and would you repeat again as a possibility for those who are unemployed what they could do?
That as they're unemployed, I mean, I suppose they could do it once every 5 years or whatever, but definitely before they went back into full-time employment, that they take something like current trends in education. It could be offered at a university. It could be offered via workshop. I mean, there's a variety of ways to deliver it, but what it would do is make sure that a teacher returning after an absence would at least have some indication of what had changed in the period of time since they've been there. And that seems to me to be more direct in answering the question about people keeping up than having them take, you know, a few hours here, I mean, you know, seat hours here and there, and it may not be that focused. So, it could be offered in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think about the civil rights workshop that used to exist in a way. It's a definitely different way of looking at it versus counting PDUs. We did agree to earlier that we would keep the 25 PDUs per year for just regularly fully employed, regular licenses, other than the initial one has other renewal requirements. So other thoughts on what Nancy put out on the floor versus a possible course for getting back in to renew if you haven't done your PDUs because either you haven't been employed or been working as a substitute? Possible course versus certain number of hours?
Well, the course could be worth a certain number of hours.
Bill? Milt?
Nancy, when you were thinking through that proposal, did you have a time frame in mind in terms of years? How long?
Well, really what I was thinking about is if they've been out for 5 years, that's a long enough period of time and enough has changed in a 5-year period that I think they should know what's changed in education. It could be offered as a course for any level or any endorsement as long as you made the work in the class pertinent to whatever they were teaching. It's a class that could be what's happened in education 2005 to 2010, and then the next year it's 2006 to 2011. I mean, it could just keep moving. And again, there's a variety of delivery systems that need not be horribly expensive.
Are we somewhat in agreement that some kind of requirement should be there for those who are unemployed and or substituting, whether it's a course or some PDUs? Are we in agreement about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sam and then Gordon.
Yeah, I agree. I pause every time you say for those who aren't employed, because I think we have a lot of our graduates who are employed but are not working in the...
Sorry, you need a mic, Sam.
I pause when you say for those who are not employed, because I'm aware that we have a lot of graduates, especially with our double degree, who are employed but are not working in the field of education. And, you know, we no longer have the recency requirement. And I really support the idea of requiring continuing professional development beyond initial preparation for those who are not working in the field. And so what we may want to do is to separate this idea of the input or the hours from whatever the domain is, because we're going to have that conversation anyway about continuing professional development.
Gordon, and then Vicki.
I'm going to pick on Bill for just a minute here and assume that he has maintained his license for this duration that he's not been an educator. And thank you for continuing to put the dollars in the coffers. He hasn't, I know. He's slacked on us. The issue that I guess I'm trying to get at here is that let's say that someone takes 10 years for whatever reason. You know, they're raising children, or they just, it's a poor economy and they can't get a job or whatever, and that's all there. Nancy's idea of coming back when you re-enter has some validity. And if you're not working, I don't know that there's any validity in having professional development, because you're not utilizing it right then anyway. I don't know where to go with this, because it seems that we're trying to quantify something, trying to come up with a solution for something that's fairly nebulous. The more I think about it, the more I like Nancy's idea of when you re-enter, there's got to be something that happens that makes you, you know, in some degree current with what's happening in the field, and quit counting hours. I don't know what to do for Tom and Phyllis. You know, 4 days a year is not a high proportion, and yet to some degree they're active. And I would entertain ideas about that. You know, 4 days a year does not warrant 10 PDUs. So, okay.
Vicki.
Well, on the initial teacher, and sometimes this helps us put our licensure into perspective, we require all new teachers to do subsequent coursework. It's just how much. And that, so CPD is almost always attached to beyond the induction period. So new teachers have, remember, if they graduate with a post-bac or a master's degree, they have to get 9 graduate hours related to education in order to move to the next stage of license. And if they graduate with an undergrad, then we give them 2 renewal cycles, as Melissa was saying this morning, to get their master's or equivalent. And so those folks are mandatorily, by your current rules, engaged regardless if they're employed, if they keep their license active, in having to do additional coursework. We can talk about the whole logistics of that some other time, because it's not related. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I think that really protects your, at least your professional position, that people need to continue to stay engaged, especially during that induction period, with their coursework, to give context and everything else. That was the reasoning. So what we're looking at are people who are beyond that point. Do they progress to a permanent, if you will, renewable license, and which is everybody else.
A number of years ago, and Mike referred to it earlier, we had to obtain 6 quarter hours of university work over a 3-year period of time in order to renew our license. So by removing that, and there was a political reason why that happened, by a very strong political group in the state who had a vested interest in not having to do that anymore. We're going through all of what we're going through in this whole process of Division 90 as a result of removing that requirement. Now, there's a simple way to to remove all of this difficult process from us, and that would be simply to renew that requirement. 6 hours, 6 quarter hours every 3 years. Higher ed would have absolutely no problem with us doing that. OEA might be somewhat upset, but it does thrust this whole thing back into a professional approach to professional development, for what it's worth.
Gordon. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mike. Mike and then Gordon.
One of the things that sometimes we, and maybe I'm wrong in what I'm hearing, but we are talking about having been out of the profession for a while and, like, having to take a course to reenter. I thought we were talking about simply renewing your license.
We are.
Okay. So if you're really talking about a specified period of time that they hold that license before which they can renew it, and they have to have achieved certain things before they'll be considered for renewal. I personally don't want to get into the qualitative aspects of CPDs. I don't think that's the real issue behind this entity as a commission. Ours is to set the criteria for licensure and renewal. And so if we say you need to have 25 CPDs a year, then you need to have 25 CPDs a year. If we say you need 6 credit hours, then you need 6 credit hours. I don't really think it's our charge to decide what those CPDs are or what those credit hours are in. I think that goes back to the local levels. As far as subs, that is a conundrum that I don't know that there's a simple answer for. As was mentioned earlier about districts, we've invited subs to our professional development activities and had some come and have some not. Most of the ones who came lived in the community and subbed for us quite frequently. It was in our interest to have them there. In a bigger district where you might have several hundreds of subs coming in, there's a cost factor. And the district is putting on the workshop and they're using resources to do that, and the subs don't necessarily contribute to that. So I can understand the impact there, but for smaller districts, it's relatively easy to do. We train classified subs too, because we need them in a variety of different ways, so we invite them to trainings. But I hate to say it, it's just, I don't know that we can solve the problem for the subs, but we have to set the standard. And we seem to be focusing on, well, how are we gonna do this? Well, there's parts of it I don't think are our charge to do. I think our charge is to determine whether or not CPDs are required to renew, or credit hours are required to renew, and if so, how many? And then I think there's a market out there for some entrepreneurial souls to put together a professional development or CPD, continuing professional development models. Maybe that's where Chalkboard comes in. I don't know. Or this other committee that Bill's been referring to. I just don't think it's up to us to decide how those things get done, just what needs to be done.
Gordon?
I'll pass.
So you want us to bring you back something in May in terms of how it would look in a role?
Yes, but I know we didn't really give you clear guidance about the not employed subbing requirements.
I
think, but if
we're going to put on the table that everybody has to do some CPD and you can just decide. And I think the reason is because if you start sorting through what's fair and what's not fair, and you're starting through who's employed and who's not employed, you know how current our employment records are, you need to start somewhere. And if you're not going to let subs do it, then what about the limiteds and the everybody else? So I let us lay it out, and let us give you some numbers of how many people are involved, because I don't think you have that at your hands either, about what that means. And let us bring the rules back and forget the questions and answers and the conceptual stuff. Let's look at what we need to clean up in the rules. And I think you'll have a little clearer roadmap. All I'm proposing is that in May we bring you some proposed amendments to the rules, and then you can really work them over. And Lynn and I can work on them early and get them out to you early, and you can look at them and be thinking about them. And then decide what you want to refer to hearing in May.
Okay. And we did get informal consensus that the commission supports PDUs in some form for non-employed subbing, and then the current process as it is for those who are employed. Nancy, do you still want to?
I do want to say one thing. I look around and I don't see anyone in the commission whose hair is as white as mine. But I want to remind you all that this was my second go around with PDUs, and it didn't work the last time either.
That's why we like to listen to your words, Nancy. That's why we like to hear what you have to say.
I'd like to ask, what do you mean didn't work?
What I mean by didn't work is I still have a folder in my file that has all of the little papers that I collected, and I don't know whether we called them PDUs then. I don't know. And I look at them, and I thought, how inane. And I don't, it didn't work then because we went away from it looking for something better. Now we have come back and we're still counting little things. We're not counting concepts. We're counting little tiny things that you get some verification that you did them. And we don't have any sense or whatever, any rigor attached to what they do. I think there are some school districts, I think school districts vary in terms of, one, what they can afford to do for their teachers in terms of professional development, or what they want to do for their teachers in terms of professional development. And I think it's good that it be a local goal, perhaps, but honestly, I just see us counting stuff. I don't see that what's happening makes a big difference.
Quality versus quantity and human power. Okay, I'm hearing from Director of Licensure that she has enough to go forward from here and bring back some proposals, options for us in May. So, thank you for that discussion. I know it will continue in May. I think I might be ill that meeting. Just kidding.